everybody. Welcome back to the 90th Minute. Welcome to our podcast. We are your hosts today. We got Greg, Waz, Lucas, and myself, Liam. If you are new to the 90th Minute, please make sure you do subscribe here on YouTube, hit like on this video, and comment down below. Get involved with the conversations we have today. We want to hear your thoughts and opinions down in the comment section.
Mm-hmm.
If you are listening to us on one of the audio apps, Spotify, Apple, anything like that, thank you very much for the support. Make sure you give it a good review, share it with your friends, help us get our name out there on the audio platforms. We had a great week of football. We're going to discuss all of that. But before we get into the action, boys, summertime is here. It means we're coming up to June, which means Father's Day. Now, get a good gift for your father this year. He's probably put up with you while you've been in the house, you know, and stuck during the pandemic. So treat him to some fantastic products at manscaped.com. Fantastic guys over there. When you use code 90th at checkout, you'll not only receive free shipping, but you'll get 20% off your order. And this is their brand new lawnmower 4.0. I can run you through some of the fantastic new features that it has. Not only does it have Manscaped's patented skin-safe technology, you won't cut yourself, it's clean, it's reliable, it's great. It's also got brand new wireless charging, means you can take it on the go with you. It's just better in every way. Still waterproof, still got the great light on it. Brand new to the 4.0 is a travel lock, so when you travel with it, you can take it with you, and it's not going to turn on in your suitcase and, you know, waste all the battery life, all that good stuff. What else should I say? Honestly, it's simple. Manscaped products, best for male grooming below the waist. It's clean, it's simple, designed well, prices are great. The SkinSafe technology is revolutionary for male grooming, but check it out, manscaped.com. You get 20% off and free shipping when you use code 90th at checkout. Now, like I said before, like, comment, subscribe. Let's get into the podcast.
Let's go.
Where should we start today, Lucas?
There's only one. I know I'm not Lucas, but there's only one place to go.
A championship playoff?
I always like to give Lucas the reins. So, I mean, Lucas, if you want to start championship.
That's where playoff, I was going, Lucas.
No, are you guys crazy?
Are you crazy? The Champions League.
I can't deal with this shit anymore.
I hear you. I don't know what that was. I don't know what that voice was. But yes, the UEFA Champions League final has occurred. The all-English final held in Porto. There's a champion. Their name is Chelsea Football Club.
Yeah, definitely. It was a great final. I thought it was very entertaining.
I love you. Thank you.
You know, man of the match, definitely Hakim Ziyech.
I thought it was Willy Caballero, actually. He looked good looking at the trophy.
Yeah.
But no, in all seriousness, of course, the biggest match in club football in Europe, and heavy favorites Manchester City suffer a shock defeat in the final, 1-0 at the hands of Chelsea. Kai Havertz scoring the goal right before halftime. It was a great game. I've seen a couple of people online, 1-0, boring. Honestly, I thought this was a fantastic final. I thought it was very back and forth, very open. Lots of chances at either end.
Second half kind of closed down a bit, but that's probably expected.
The thing is, it was so much better than the past two Champions League finals.
You're not wrong. 2019, you know, was kind of shite. No offense, Lucas. 2020 was okay. I was obviously hyped because Lewandowski and Davies winning it, but it was okay. But
that game just should have been a better game. It just should have been a better game, and it just wasn't. This was just a better game.
I mean, it finishes 1-0, but I really, really thought it was a really good game. I really enjoyed watching it. We did stream it live over on Twitch, twitch.tv/90thminuteofficial, of course.
But, I mean, there's a lot of key moments from the beginning to the end. You know, obviously Timo Werner, he missed some big chances again. That trend continues to be the same, it seems. But I thought Chelsea's players were great. Like, you know, Kai Havertz, Mason Mount, Rudiger, and N'Golo Kante, of course, man of the match. I think most people agree.
Well, I think we should start off there because, like I said, it was from beginning to end, and it was from the very, very beginning because a lot of the drama started before kickoff, even with Manchester City's starting 11 and the lack of a CDM.
Yes, that was the big talking point.
The Pep Guardiola formation in the midfield consisted of Bernardo Silva, Gundogan, Phil Foden, and up front was Mahrez and Sterling on the wings, and Kevin De Bruyne playing as a false nine. Something we have not seen from Manchester City, something we haven't seen from Pep Guardiola, so we don't understand why he chose this game to make this adjustment to the starting 11.
Pep likes to overthink games. That's what he did today.
That looks yesterday. Like the common theme, and another big Champions League moment for Manchester City goes wrong because of the starting 11. Lucas, I see you want to say something. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, things were going well for him throughout the Champions League campaign when he wasn't doing anything crazy with the lineup. Now, really, the first 15, 20-ish minutes, maybe 30 minutes of the game, it looked like it was a good choice because City were pressing high up the pitch. They were having most of the possession. They were close to creating some dangerous chances. Raheem Sterling got a ball over the top. He had a poor touch in that situation. Foden almost got a goal, but Rudiger came out of nowhere. City were able to get by Chelsea's attack, midfield, and defense at points. But I think Chelsea adapted pretty well, and
yeah,
they started giving less space for their attacking players to really create anything. And
well, I know during our stream, a lot of people were hating on Raheem Sterling. Oh, get him out of here, get him out. I thought Raheem Sterling was actually playing well, especially in the first, I'm going to say, 20 minutes of that first half. He was getting in behind down that left side.
Yeah.
Reece James had to drop back into more of a right back rather than a right wing back, and it really it dropped the Chelsea back line further back. But that change by Chelsea was what actually made their game better.
Oh, Reece James had a really good game, though, too.
He did, and they sat further back, they defended, then they pushed forward more as a unit rather than just going down the wings consistently. But
and Lucas was talking about Rudiger making a last
so good
second tackle.
Oh, he was fantastic.
Block, however you want to say it. But like there was like four of those kind of chances for City where Chelsea's like last defender made such an important tackle or interception.
I know Azpilicueta had a goal. Azpilicueta had two of them at the back post.
He was fantastic. Yeah.
I think Chelsea had a great game.
Oh, I think Chelsea's back line as a whole was fantastic. Jorginho, Conte was fantastic. Mason Malik. I mean, maybe the one person who didn't have a good was like maybe Timo Werner because he missed some big chances. But still, he wasn't bad making runs.
He was still making runs.
Yeah.
Like, got his team out of.
He made the important run to create the goal. He pulls the Man City back line to the left. Mason Mount does extremely well to space.
I think the big thing this game will definitely have been the fact that Man City did not play a defensive midfield like Fernandinho or Rodri. I wonder if he did that just because like it's gonna it'll catch Chelsea off guard. They won't know what I'm doing. It'll confuse them in their head. Like some no, it's
I
just
think they just
like,
wanted.
Yeah,
they, I think that they just wanted to play more attacking against Chelsea.
I think so. I think that. I think
and
most of
it was
yeah.
working until they got that one chance. If they had a defensive midfielder there. Mason Mount's probably not making that pass.
Well, I think there's a lot of ifs and buts. Work necessarily. Well, sorry to cut you guys off there. I mean, I know you're going to explain yourself there in a second, Greg. But yeah, like Chelsea did create some chances that probably could have been or should have been scored. And of course, like you're probably going to mention that goal did happen because a wide gap was left open.
Well, like, so in those kind of situations, John Stones, I'm pretty sure is who it was, got pulled out by Timo Werner, like you said. Ruben Dias, I think, was covering someone else, or he just was a little out of position. But there's a big gap between John Stones and Ruben Dias there. And that is where Fernandinho would have been.
Yep.
Kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, or Rodri. One of them would have been there.
Pep's thinking, I think, was, I trust my back four to defend. I trust them to just sit back. I'm not going to push my fullbacks up to it. Kyle Walker and Zinchenko are very capable of going forward. Kyle Walker did it a little bit more, but I thought both fullbacks were a little bit further back. He trusted that back four to sit there. Nothing gets past you. Simple as that. The front six then are just going to be high press, high intensity, win the ball back up high, and score that goal. Chelsea's back line, though, didn't lose possession. Chelsea's back line...
Yeah.
They did it perfectly. They were able to move the ball out wide to those fullbacks and then put it in behind for Mount, Timo Werner, Christian Pulisic, Kai Havertz, whoever. And they took the midfield, the Man City midfield, they took them out of the equation. They just went around them. They went over them. And then you have to give so much credit to N'Golo Kanté and Jorginho. They work so hard. I don't know how much ground N'Golo Kanté ran in that final, but the man covered the space of the moon, I think it was, because it was just, he was incredible. He was, I mean, we're so used to seeing
Jesus Christ.
We're so used to, I punched my mic. I'm so sorry.
No, I'm rewatching the goal. Sorry. And then there's like, I'm watching the Mason Mount's through ball, and there's just so much space
up the middle
for Kai Havertz to make a run through. The only player really close to him was Zinchenko. No one in the midfield. You may have maybe like Gundogan. And yeah, you, like you said, Timo Werner kind of pulls away the other defenders. It's insane that you think a Man City team like that, so well structured, would allow so much space for Kai Havertz to kind of find a way through.
It's kind of like Leicester City.
One moment.
Or like,
yeah.
It's kind of like Leicester City, where they let a lot of space and were conceding goals that were kind of cheap.
Well, obviously, I think the way I'm viewing Pep Guardiola right here, maybe he's saying, okay, I have all these attacking players. I'm confident that they can hold on to the ball, be patient, and break down Chelsea's back line because it is heavily defense. So basically, their mindset's like, okay, if we just stay patient, a mistake will happen. We'll be able to pierce through that back line. They're probably thinking, well, you know, Thiago Silva, Rudiger, they could be prone to make some mistakes. That wasn't the case, and 1-0.
It was very hard for Chelsea to make mistakes because those players in big matches have been super focused. Like,
now,
like usually when they're not the favorites in matches, they're so focused.
They know they have to be on their 100%.
Now, of course, Thiago Silva did come off an injury just before that goal happened. That was sad to see, but luckily they were able to win the game for him. And obviously Chelsea's board. But the key moment was when Kevin De Bruyne came off. I think we need to talk about that moment. Yeah, very sad moment.
To be fair, we haven't even mentioned the goal. Like, Kai Havertz, what we were talking about, Mason Mount, did send that ball through to Kai Havertz, and he did go around Ederson and put it into the empty net. So
I think Kai Havertz was incredible in this game. I think this is his best Chelsea game, I think. His hold-up play was great. His goal was superb. He was able to round Ederson, like you said. But even just his runs in behind, this is the Kai Havertz we were used to seeing in Germany. Now I really enjoyed watching.
Yeah,
but
he's actually
finally playing further forward. Yeah, Lampard was playing him so deep.
Yeah, he's playing him as a number 8 at some points. So I remember watching the match against Wolves. He was playing as a number 8. I'm like, that's not where Kai Havertz.
That's not where.
Yeah, no.
In Germany, he plays like striker for
he played much further forward. That's there's a reason why he scored so many goals in the Bundesliga.
But like Wazzy was saying, at the hour mark, there was an injury for Kevin De Bruyne. He had to go off due to a facial injury. It has come out that he has broken his cheekbone and his nose bone.
He like fractured his nose and his eye. Like
his eye socket kind of thing. It was a freak accident. He turned into Rudiger. Rudiger did get a yellow card on the play, but really it wasn't anywhere he could go.
I mean, Rudiger was trying to block it off.
Rudiger knew what he was doing. He knew what he was doing.
Yeah. He wasn't trying to injure, but he knew he was...
He wasn't... Exactly. He's just trying to take a tactical foul, because Kevin De Bruyne probably could have been in on goal there if he didn't do that.
But yeah, De Bruyne does go off at the 60th minute, and it does change a lot of the game. It changes the way City were pressing.
That's insane.
Possession.
What's up, Wilson?
I'm watching the highlight, the replay of the injury. It's essentially... Kevin De Bruyne just kind of runs into Rudiger. It's one of those things that happened in the heat of the moment, right? Like, Rudiger was trying to maybe close down a passing lane. De Bruyne's going to try to make a run forward. He passed it. Yeah, essentially. And, I mean, there were some people like asking, oh, he meant to do that. I'm like, no, Rudiger came out and said, I didn't mean to injure him. Yeah. It kind of happened. He apologized after as well. Class move by Rudiger.
I find it kind of similar to when Mo Salah got injured against Real Madrid from Sergio Ramos. Like, kind of that kind of scenario. Not, it's not exactly the same, of course, but it's like your key player that season gets injured in the final. Like, well, your key player offensively, and it affects you for the rest of the game. And, I mean, City, second half, they had a few chances, but, like, there was obviously that Mahrez one late. There probably was another one that was a decent chance. But City, Chelsea were defending well.
So I want to talk about that intro real quick because later on in the evening, I went on Instagram. I went on some random post by Kevin De Bruyne. I read some comments. And here's the idiots. I'm not going to name this guy. He's just some random dude on Instagram. It wasn't our Instagram either. It was like 433 or something. He's like, this is what I said with De Bruyne. Anyone else think that De Bruyne bitched out? I've been kicked in the face, headbutted, and broke my toe. If you want to proceed, you will proceed. Players nowadays have no heart. And here's the reply. So you expect him to play with concussion. How do you know he was concussed? And he kind of went out and said, I call it how I see it. Been watching football, let alone all sports, and I know what heart looks like. That was weakness. Calling me names or labels does irrelevant. Did you watch the Europa match between United and whatever? Like, dude, when someone is like gets a head injury, they're getting off the pitch. I don't care. You stop them from playing.
Face. He literally broke his face.
Like, I'm sorry. Like, you can maybe have a bone injury somewhere, or, like, something can break, and you can still some players will still play on. But head injury, you're off the pitch. I don't care who you are. That's, like, in cases most athletes in any sport. In the NHL, you saw what happened with John Tavares. He was sent off. He couldn't play anymore. He basically collapsed. What if that happened to Kevin De Bruyne?
And he should, like, come off no matter what. But yeah. It's also, just thinking of it like this, it's Kevin De Bruyne, and with what happened to him, he's such a creative player. His vision, his mental game is exactly insane. Like,
imagine questioning a player in the finals, his heart. Like, piss off to that.
He was crying. Like he wanted to keep playing. You know he was...
The thing about... You're playing in such a high-intensity match. You're not going to be playing while your head is kind of feeling a bit off, you know? You're going to start wobbling. You might throw... Who knows, right? Like, you can't continue to play in that condition.
100%. And people that comment stuff like that are people that really don't have a place in sports or in football. It's like, you know, keep your opinions to yourself and just move on. Because it's ridiculous. And I don't think comments like that affect a player too. Like if a player happens to be reading Instagram, or if you see something like that, I don't think that would affect him because he goes, "Okay, this guy's just dumb." It's the comments of, "Oh, you don't care about the club, you don't that stuff like that." I think he cares. If I was a player, I'd be really affected by that. I think. But let's continue on with the final because for the most of the second half, Manchester City had possession. They had the ball in the Chelsea half. They were pushing and pushing. I think about the 70th, 75th minute is when we saw plan B from Manchester City, which was crossing balls, long balls into the box, which didn't work. We've said this about Man City time and time again, that when they go to plan B, it doesn't work. It's not their best play style, especially against Chelsea. They had Antonio Rudiger winning every single cross into the box. They had Christensen in there, who's not a slouch in the air. Azpilicueta won his fair share of crosses. I don't know why City is that's their backup plan kind of thing. It's
you get forced into it.
But they're technically one of the best clubs in the world. Move the ball.
It's hard. Unfortunately, you're also getting pushed for time. You can't just pass the ball around. I know what you're saying, but you can't just pass the ball around when Chelsea's got 9 players in the box.
Yeah. And like, time is running out, and you need to make something happen.
You
got to
put the ball in the box, hope for a lucky break. And it almost did come at the end when Mahrez just put it over the bar. Missed that top corner.
I mean, ultimately, it ends 1-0 for Chelsea. They are champions of Europe for the second time. Manchester City's wait for the Champions League will go on for at least another season. And people are going to ask Pep Guardiola about his starting 11. They're going to ask, why can he not win this trophy outside of Barcelona? People are going to ask, why is the city of Manchester the absolute bottle jobs? I want to know the answer to that as well.
Don't worry,
we'll get on to United, don't you worry. But I have a question for the three of you. Was this City's time? You know, they have struggled to get to the final before.
I viewed it a bit differently. I think this is the moment where Manchester City fans feel the heartbreak of football. It's been a while since they felt that, winning numerous Premier Leagues, you know, the Aguero moment. I mean, Carabao Cups.
What about their times at Champions League, though?
That is true. You're not wrong. But when you get to a final, it's a bit more emotional because you're so close.
Yeah, and it's also when they lost those other Champions League finals, or not finals, the Champions League games in the past few years and everything.
Yeah.
It's their own fault. Like, they blew it. They absolutely blew it. This was just a little more saddening.
The way I view it, sorry, Lucas, is that they lost this final, but I think they will go on next year to win it. Right now, I'm feeling. They remind me. Sorry, Lucas.
Liverpool. Liverpool? Is that what you're going
to
say, though?
They remind me of Liverpool in 2018. They won in the next year. And Bayern Munich in 2012 when they lost at Chelsea and they went on to win in 2013. So I feel like that's what's going to happen here.
Well, I don't even mean to keep it. But, like, we know what who City is targeting in the transfer window. A amazing striker in either Harry Kane or Haaland or anything. Imagine one of those going up front with that City team.
You could actually cross the ball. Yeah.
Anyways, Liam, let's let Lucas speak.
Can I open my mouth without speaking too early? yeah, I mean, I kind of agree with Waz. Like, this could be like a Liverpool situation. I see it more as a Liverpool situation compared to a Spurs, because this isn't the end of a cycle for Manchester City. No. Not at all. No. This is a team, they had their bad season last year. They had a great season this year. They still have the relatively same amount of players. They're going to probably build upon the season. Some older players are leaving, like Aguero, but they'll probably be able to replace them pretty easily.
But like someone like Phil Foden is... That's another season of experience. Like,
yeah, Foden, yeah. Bernardo Silva.
Another thing is, you know, I doubt another Man City player will... another Man City youth player will come through, but they do have a good academy going on right now, so you never know what might come up next.
Do have Delap, who's coming through. Yeah. He's a striker, and he's not as good at throw-ins as Rory Delap, because apparently parents got mad at him when he did throw-ins when he was younger, so he stopped them. Kind of random. But supposedly he's a really promising striker.
My one asterisk about City coming back stronger, I think they'll have a much, much more difficult season next year in the Premier League. We look at Liverpool with a healthy squad. They'll be much more difficult. United, they spend a little bit of money. They'll be a title contender.
Okay, I hope so.
Chelsea are going to be definite title contenders. The Premier League, I'm going to say top six, are going to be so difficult and so tight next season that City's going to have to work every single week. We have not seen a City like we have this season where they've dropped so many points and still won the Premier League. City dropped that many points next year, I don't think they win the Premier League. So City will have to be perfect every single week in the Premier League and in Champions League. And I don't know if they can. I gotta be honest. I don't know if they will be able to.
Those questions are always going to be, you know... asked, can they do it again? This and that.
I think
they have the quality.
They were there.
I get you what I mean, but I feel like losing a final, that hunger will be there, right? It's not like Dortmund in 2013 when they lost a final. You think they can go back, but the difference between Man City and Dortmund is that Dortmund was ready to sell players off, like Lewandowski. Man City, I don't see them selling any of these players. No. Except for, you know, obviously Aguero, maybe Sterling, maybe.
And then if they do sell, they'll have more than competent replacements. It's not...
Why the fuck would
have an issue. I don't have an issue with the Man City squad. I have an issue with... Can it be just too much? Week in, week out.
We'll find out. That's the thing. Well, I guess the last thing to say is fair play to Chelsea. You guys had a fantastic... Yeah. End of the season.
What's kind of cool is now this is the third German manager in a row to win the Champions League, which is interesting. You know, the Germans, they seem to know how to... They're pretty good at the managing thing. So
Yogi Löw can leave whenever he wants.
Oh, he was pretty good, but you know, some may say it was because of Hansi Flick in 2014. But yeah. He's past his prime. You know, he's past his expiration date, the way I view it.
At the end of the day, like Greg said, congratulations to Chelsea. You are champions of Europe.
Yeah.
Commiserations to City. I'm now, sure you will be back sooner rather than later. But we should stick on the topic of Manchester, though.
No. One question for you guys: who was your man of the match? Mine, N'Golo Kanté.
It's N'Golo Kanté, but Kai Havertz gets a second shout.
I mean, I don't really disagree with you guys.
I want to play one thing before we go on to City, because this was the funny moment Liam brought up from the final. Kai Havertz, when asked about his little deal, I think I still have it on my phone. Let me check here. Yeah, I have it.
He played it all back in one night, nearly. To be honest, right now, I give a fuck on that. We won the fucking Champions League. And we just said it. I apologize for that fruity language, but you understand.
Yeah, basically, if you missed what the reporter asked, he's like, do you feel like you paid back your $80 million price tag? He says, I don't give a shit. I just won the Champions League.
Speak some good English, honestly.
I mean, yeah, no, not most Germans do, to be fair.
Yeah, Germans are smart.
Point, though. Don't ask me fucking questions. I just won a fucking Champions League. Piss off. But Manchester, bottle jobs, Europa League, Manchester United, Wazinho, baby. What happened?
We fucked it. I'm just going to give credit to Villarreal. They defended quite well, quite deep, but at the same time, you can't use that as an excuse. A club like Manchester United and the players they have to find a way to break teams down like that. Am I surprised with the way Villarreal played? Yes. Am I, like, going to be like Paul Scholes and, like, slag them? No, of course, credit to them. They did what they needed to do to end up getting a result. And if anything, they exposed our set-piece issues quite well and scored the first goal. We United were kind of lucky to get that their goal, kind of a deflection, kind of Edison Cavani picked it up, don't get me wrong. Rashford should have finished that clear-cut chance he had. You know, honestly, United could have won this in the first 90 if they just took their chances a bit better, and they didn't. So, this game goes the distance. Penalties, one of the craziest penalty shootouts I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And, unfortunately, someone was bound to lose, and David De Gea misses. And, honestly, it's just, it sucks to see, but United can only blame themselves.
I think there was complacency by United going into this. It's just Villarreal. We are United.
Oh, I don't even know if it was. I don't even know. I don't think it was complacency. Honestly, it just came. No, it came down to tactics. The way the team was set up. On paper, the team looked very well, but I think Solskjaer really missed it.
If we look at your starting 11, it is a decent enough starting 11.
Oh yeah.
But at the same time, is it? That starting 11 is more than good enough to win a
oh, yes, yeah. And other than
Harry Maguire,
is, like,
that's their starting 11.
Yeah, no Maguire. It was season. Eric Bailly and Lindelof as center backs.
Yeah, Maguire was missing. But, that's huge.
But really,
the question mark is you're asking, well, why didn't Solskjaer make a single substitution? It's like he was knowing this game was going to penalty. It's like, why? It's like, you look at Pep Guardiola, your noisy neighbor who's winning trophies. He made a couple substitutions in the first, in the second half of the Champions League final, not the Europa League final, man. Use your brain a little bit, Solskjaer. I praise the guy, but fuck.
I mean, it's not like your bench was terrible. I mean, you ended up bringing on Juan Mata, Tuan Zebe, Alex Telles, Dan James, and Fred. I mean,
how about Van de Beek?
Yeah, where's Donny?
What the fuck? I mean, he would have probably. I think someone in the locker room, or I can't remember, said, but Donny Van de Beek, this is a guy who played in the Champions League semifinal. You'd think he would have the quality to supplement your team in a Europa League final.
I mean, the Mason Greenwood coming off for Fred. What? I mean, that's when you should be putting.
Yeah, there's so, like, that's my biggest critique. There's a lot of issues with Solskjaer, obviously, as a manager. One of my criticisms is that his substitutions are always very questionable.
One thing I want to say about the Donny van de Beek thing, I've always said from the beginning that this wasn't going to be the best signing for Manchester United because I feel like this is kind of similar with Havertz with Lampard because Donny van de Beek, I always thought of him as better as a player higher up the pitch in the roles where Bruno Fernandes lays around it. Yeah. But
or even Pogba.
I don't see him as a guy sitting beside another midfielder. I've never seen him as a player like that. And obviously, United, they might have thought that they could do something like that with him. But either he can't or it's going to take a lot more time to develop into that type of player. And
yeah, I mean, he's very young and he can, but like it's going to be tough. I'd rather play him in his best suited position. I don't want to sign a player just to change his position, you know?
You can't. If you want him to play in his best position, he's not going to play all that often, like this season, because you have Bruno Fernandes.
Yeah. And for example, you know, you signed Fabinho to be a center defensive mid, like an anchor, but there's times where you're going to have to play him as a center back in case of injury. But that's not the case at United. You want to play your best player in the best position, right?
Fabinho was already capable of doing that, though. I don't think Donny van de Beek was capable of doing that.
The way I view it is that, like, Donny van de Beek is capable of being a CDM when he has to be. But you'd rather play him in his right. I don't agree. That's the way I view it.
I don't agree.
I think a lot of fingers are going to be pointed at Manchester United in terms of they've bottled this. This should be a United trophy. They should have simply gone into this final.
We should have
been the better club and just gone on to.
And a matter of fact,
but people are disrespecting the effort that Villarreal went into. They put this. They went into this game massive underdogs, and they played a very, very good match. Like you said, they defended very well, very compact. I think Juan Foyt was very good in this match. You know, I don't know why Spud sold them. But I think Villarreal deserve a lot more praise than what they're getting.
And then they, and once you win a trophy, it's whatever.
It does go to distance, like you said. Yeah. It does go to penalties. And like I said, an absolutely insane penalty shootout.
Their penalties were 11-10.
Yeah. It ends 11-10 on penalties for Villarreal. And like you said, David De Gea was the one to miss
the penalty. Shame. Which is a shame because, honestly, let's be real here, David De Gea should have never been in a position to shoot a penalty. It's whatever.
Well,
I don't really expect...
David De Gea could have stepped up and saved a penalty.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, yes.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
Rooney,
I would hope
stepped up and slotted.
My thing is, I don't care about that. It's the people disrespecting David De Gea after that, because that man has done so much for our club. Our club probably would have. There was probably seasons where we would not even like qualify for Europe if it wasn't for him. Like, he was an impact. I hope this is not his last outing. There's odds are he will probably get sold to an Italian club or Spanish. So I hope. You know, it's a shame if that's a send-off for him.
You know, it's crazy because I think if he went a year ago, you know, when Dean Henderson was still on loan out at Sheffield United, we went, United have the best 1-2 goaltenders in the Premier League. Now we're sitting here today going, who is the starting goalkeeper for United? Will it be Dean Henderson? I doubt it. Will it be David De Gea? I doubt it. Where's your starting goaltender coming from next
season? Why would you doubt it being Dean Henderson?
Well, it's probably going to be
Dean very
Henderson.
Shaky as of recently. People have not been happy with Dean Henderson. He's deserving to be a backup. And I, to an extent, I agree. I think
he's improving as a keeper, you know.
Number one.
As a keeper of his age, he's going to go through some dips of form. He's not going to be perfect at his age. He's proven that. He's proven he can be a good goalie. He can make quality saves. He can. He's proved that.
I'm not saying he's bad. I'm saying I think he'd be, for another couple of years, I think he'd be a great number two.
I guess, but the unfortunate part
is
that...
The
unfortunate part is that David De Gea will likely be sold and Dean Henderson will be the starter, as United have already made plans to sign a backup keeper in Tom Heaton, I'm pretty sure.
Yes, you have.
So,
that's the best
either Dean Henderson or David De Gea is gone, and I don't think United want to let go of Dean Henderson.
No.
Just in the case it turns into another Paul Pogba situation where we let a player go and he turns into a world-class player. Mm-hmm. But that's obviously, you know, different positions, different situations, and all that, but you know what I'm saying.
But let's just finish this off. I just want to say congratulations to Villarreal. I mean, it was great seeing them celebrate with their fans, the scenes in the city as well. I think smallest city to win a European trophy as well. 50,000 people live in the there, which is incredible.
Would
and also,
say,
I want to give myself a pat on the back. I know, I'm not the best at predictions, but I did say this on TikTok like 5 months ago.
This guy.
I should really choose Spurs as my choice, but I'm going to go with Villarreal, but that can always change.
That was my Europa League prediction.
Yeah, you did. Yep. You did.
Fair enough, Lucas. Fair enough.
Would you say, Lucas, watching that Europa League final, you had a good evening?
See?
Good evening. Well, Sidney, if you get up out of your chair one more time, I kick you from the 90th minute,
okay?
Okay,
anyways.
Get the fuck out of here.
We'll get Wasim instead. Shout out to Wasim.
Anyways, I do want to...
Sorry, I just want to mention something about United. I'm a United supporter. I want to just make... My biggest fear, you know, a lot of people are going to wonder, should Solskjaer be out after this? I think he needs one more season. If he doesn't get a trophy next year, sack him. Regardless if he gets Champions League or not, get him out. If he does not bring home a trophy, because depending on who he brings in, there's heavily rumors that Sancho is still coming to the club. Which is, if Jadon Sancho doesn't come to the club and he signs with someone else, I'm gonna wonder what's wrong with this fucking club. Anyway, but my biggest fear with Man United is you know, you watch your noisy neighbor City and you see Chelsea start, like, the board needs to ask themselves, look at themselves in the mirror and ask, why aren't we on Chelsea's or Manchester City's standards right now anymore? These are clubs that have gone through managers and cycles and are continually fighting for the Champions League, Premier League. Is United ever going to get back to that standard, or are they going to fall down to where Arsenal are right now? Nothing against Arsenal supporters, but the last thing, my biggest fear as a United supporter is that we'll become like Arsenal or Spurs.
Yeah.
Like, they need to, I hope that board, whoever's in charge, you watch that Champions League final and you're like, Chelsea just won a Champions League final. And they just swapped a manager out mid-season.
Yeah.
They had Frank Lampard, for God's sakes, and it looked like the club was going nowhere, and all of a sudden they're lifting the Champions League and could be likely very strong contenders to the Premier League next year. Are those questions there for United?
Well, I think... I think a point that I think we can move into is Chelsea just go on and lift the Champions
League. Yeah.
And now here we are today, 24, 48 hours after, and Chelsea are heavily, heavily linked with the return of Romelu Lukaku. I want to go into some transfers here, some transfer rumors, and some confirmed managerial changes and stuff like that. Yes, yes, what do you want?
Can I go get a water while you discuss this? I'm getting up my chair, but I just want to get some water with some ice in it. Thank you. I love here. Go Celtic. Yeah, Glasgow's green and white. Yeah. Okay.
But yes, Chelsea are heavily linked with the Inter Milan goal scorer. The reasons are simple. Inter Milan are very, very financially in a difficult position. And they have already let go of Antonio Conte due to his wages and not wanting to spend money on transfers. And it looks like they are ready to sell Romelu Lukaku.
Of course, I don't know if they're ready to sell him.
Well,
I think there's
they're ready to sell.
I think there's they're more willing to sell Hakimi, apparently. I know PSG have been interested. I know his agent has said otherwise, but I mean, I think they'd rather just sell one player rather than multiple, if possible.
It all depends on how bad these finances truly are and what it will take to dig themselves out of this hole. If they do sell Lukaku, I'd be very, very surprised. I mean, without him, they would not be Serie A champions this season. But if Chelsea do end up going in for Lukaku, I mean, they bring a great goal scorer back to the club. It just makes this team even stronger, I feel. And that would be very good competition for Timo Werner to, hey, you need to actually score a goal if you want to be a starting player at Chelsea. So we'll see what happens there with Chelsea. There was also, you mentioned Hakimi to PSG potential. There's also talk about potentially Paris Saint-Germain letting go of Pochettino. Spurs want a reunion with him. I don't see this happening. I think he'll stay at Paris for at least one more season. Good job, Wazzy. I don't see Spurs picking up Pochettino. There's a lot of talk about Spurs getting Antonio Conte.
Yeah, well, that'd be an interesting. I just wanted. Well, you're talking about Chelsea strikers, and it's Tammy Abraham's most likely out of the door. That'll same most with likely happen.
Giroux, probably.
Yeah. So technically, like Timo Werner would be like their only striker. So getting like a striker in there, and then having like a 1-2 competing against each other would be good if they're gonna stick with like their one striker formation. Mm-hmm. Kind of thing.
No, for sure. Competition never hurts, especially a top club like that. They want to push for trophies. But yeah, like I was saying, Spurs are trying to sign Antonio Conte from Sport Italia. Again, that's not happening. Antonio Conte is not going to Spurs. I got to be honest with you.
We've seen many managerial changes throughout Europe, especially Bundesliga, Italy. We've seen Zidane leave Real Madrid. There's been managers linked to them left, right, and center.
Half of Italy has no coaches at the moment. Yep. They've all just swapped at the time.
Allegri went to Juventus. Inter got Inzaghi from Lazio. Napoli got Spalletti.
Yeah.
Boys.
What happened, sir?
FIFA 22, when we do the championship career mode again, hopefully, I'm taking over Blackpool because they got promoted to the championship. Yes, Blackpool. That.
Yes,
let's go.
I don't know why you're bringing that up now, but yeah.
You could have brought it up a bit later.
Oh, I saw my R slash.
It's all it is. But yes, Gini Wijnaldum is officially leaving Liverpool, and he will be joining Barcelona alongside Sergio Aguero.
Sorry, did
Wijnaldum,
you?
That'll be a good pickup for Barcelona. I think he'll bring a lot to that midfield.
Did you hear about the Olivier Giroud? Did you guys talk about that?
Not really.
Giroud to Milan?
Is that confirmed?
According to this one source, Calcio Mercato, I don't know if the Olivier Giroud's transfer to Milan is set to be defined. The last details expected to be perfected next week. He's going to land in Milan for medical tests. Unless a sensational twist occurs, Giroud will be a Milan player.
I find that odd. I don't think that's true because, I mean, they have Zlatan who would fill in a similar role.
Backup striker of Croatian man Mario Mandzukic. He left the club after 6 months, so they need a backup goal scorer. Olivier Giroud fits the AC Milan build. I gotta be honest, old, not very pacey, just living his best life.
Since we're talking transfers and news right now, with Kevin De Bruyne, for all our Belgian supporters, Matthias, I guess he will be not missing the Euros. nor is he at risk. The plan is to wear a mask and join Belgium on June 7th.
There has been some confirmed transfers, though. Liverpool did sign a player. They signed Ibrahima Konate for $35 million. We also saw David Alaba leaving Bayern Munich and joining Real Madrid for a free transfer. So that was a good piece of business there. Other than that, in terms of big transfers, nothing yet. I'm sure it will happen a bit more as the weeks go on, especially after the Euros. We'll see a bit more transfers. Wow. But, Waz, let's get on to the lower divisions.
Can I say one more thing?
Yes, yes, you can. Yeah. Of course.
Like, I mean, I know I've said it in multiple locker rooms, but like, I just want to say the Bundesliga is also wild with the managerial changes as well. Literally, Bayern, new manager. They got Leipzig's manager. Now, Leipzig, they get Salzburg's manager. Dortmund, they get Gladbach's manager. Gladbach, they get Frankfurt's manager. Frankfurt gets Wolfsburg's manager. Leverkusen already sacked their manager earlier in the season.
Such a mess.
And that manager is apparently going to like the DFB, I think, as an assistant.
Yeah, Europe's managerial situation is hilarious.
Honestly. Especially because there's so many big teams that are needing managers at the moment. I mean, Real Madrid job is up for availability. Who takes that? Like, that's a Zidane leaving there. Where does Zidane go? You know, does he go to coach France after the Euros? That's where I think he'll go, I gotta be honest. But we'll wait and see.
What the fuck?
What's up? What's up?
I found this video on Arsat Soccer. It's Michael Ballack at a cabaret show. And there's women dancing, but he's just watching the Champions League final.
I'm going to go talk about the championship playoff final because we have a brand new club in the Premier League for the first time ever in their history. Welcome, Brentford. You've tried 100 million times, it seems. You lose every playoff final. You're back in the top flight for the first time since 1947. Good job. Good job. It was a great game, actually. I thoroughly enjoyed watching this one.
I thought you said outside the 25 minutes. It's not a good game.
You just need to watch the first 20, 25, half an hour. But it was a great game because it was enjoyable. The fans were back at Wembley. People were happy. There was two old men in the stands.
Swansea fans weren't happy.
Swansea fans, they're okay. They're Welsh. They like to sing songs and have a great time. But there's two old men in the crowd who were there in 1947 watching them in the top flight. And they're back at Wembley today to see him return. So that was lovely. But Ivan Toney does open the scoring in the 10th minute through a penalty. He also had a fantastic, fantastic effort. Saw him volley the ball off the crossbar. He is going to be a joy to watch in the Premier League. We will see if he can continue the form. We saw Timo Pukki do it for the Norwich in the Championship. Couldn't do it when he came up.
The man got 43 goal contributions in the Championship. That is insane.
Pretty good. And again, I say Celtic could have signed him for $5 million. We went, no, $5 million is too expensive. And here he is today. So good job, Celtic. You're a great fucking club. Fucking hate you all.
I hope he sticks with Brentford and just plays with Brentford going up. That sounds weird coming from me, but yeah.
I am very excited to see Brentford in the Premier League. Of course, their Danish manager, Mr. Thomas Frank, I believe it's Thomas Frank, and half of their squad is Danish. So that's what I love to see, a little bit of flair.
Well, you know what's funny about that Brentford thing? I think it was Greg. Someone asked a question in our poll. Who will be the final team going to the Premier League next season? Someone commented one day ago, Brentford can't win the playoff final at all. It's impossible. Have you been living under a nutshell? Brentford have lost so many. Suck it.
It's funny because that was commented after.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, well, then, yeah, have you been living under a nutshell, man?
Yeah, but they're finally up, so.
They are finally up. They said they have lost so many finals, but they are up. And I'm very much looking forward to seeing them in the Premier League.
This is very good water.
Stay up. Wow. I'm happy for you. For Swansea, they stay another season in the Championship.
Where they'll have to play Blackpool, like Waz said.
Yes.
Congrats, Blackpool.
The Tangerines are back in the
Championship. Come on, you Tangerines!
Can Blackpool make a push to the Premier League once again? I hope so. I love them.
Hull City up to the Championship
They are my championship club, as is, you know, in the second division of La Liga. Mallorca is my club.
Mallorca got promoted. So. Let's go, Mallorca!
La Liga, yeah, Mallorca!
Let's go party in Mallorca!
Away days, Cristiano Ronaldo, Lionel Messi, Mallorca.
I would love it. Yo, let's book some tickets when COVID's all good. Let's go to fucking Mallorca.
Let's go. I'm down.
I know. Greg's like, we gotta do other things, but I want to go to Mallorca, man.
Is there anything else we should talk about before we move into questions?
I have a question. So, okay, go ahead, Lucas.
Well, our hot. Whatever your segment of the week is, Walt.
So, yes, our in-form and out-of-form performers of the week, or you can say your, you know, hot and cold performers of the week. Liam, let's start with you. What was your in-form moment of the week?
In-form moment of the week.
And doesn't have to be football-related either. It could be anything.
Yeah.
I mean...
Greg, if you want to go first...
I was just going to say Brentford, because fair play to Brentford. I'm excited to see them in the Prem. It was weird coming... from a Fulham fan saying that, but, you know.
I think my in-form of the week is going to be... I'm going to say Kai Havertz scoring a goal in the Champions League final. That's pretty in-form, I got to be honest.
Who wants to go next?
Me. I will go with N'Golo Kante, because you just can't hate that man.
Yeah,
that's fair. My out-of-form performer of the week? Holy fuck, let me list.
Say my in-form.
We're doing in-forms first. We're going back
to in-forms, okay.
So I'm going to do a non-football in-form because I'll change it up a bit.
Go ahead, yeah, man.
My in-form performer of the week is related to volleyball.
Oh, wow.
Because Poland, they had a player break the record for most aces in a match. Which, if you don't know, in volleyball, you serve the ball to the other side, and an ace is when you serve it, and it hits the ground before anyone can get to it. And he broke the record. He got 13 in one match, named Wilfredo Leon. So, plays for Poland.
Congratulations, Polish volleyball man!
We do sports in Poland! One of the best UFC fighters. We're amazing at volleyball. Best striker in the world. We just gotta do good well the Euros to back everything.
Greg,
up.
Who's your out of form of the week?
I can't take United because I feel like that's a watch list.
Oh no!
Mine's
a list. I got three things. I don't have one moment this week, man. It was rough.
I guess it's Manchester City. Like it's pretty simple, but I don't know. More like. Sergio Aguero, you feel bad him crying on his last game for Manchester City, so it sucks.
Mine?
Go ahead.
Manchester United in penalties, I'm sorry, I had to start off with that. The Edmonton Oilers getting knocked out of the NHL playoffs in 4-game sweep, that kind of stung me in the heart. Mm-hmm. Okay, I kind of had a hangover the other night, the day after.
Bad week.
Yeah, and just recently, the BTS meal from McDonald's, I tried the Cajun sauce. It tastes like fucking mustard. What's the difference? Have you tried it? Have you tried the sweets, the BTS meal?
I haven't tried the sauce at all.
The BTS meal, it's basically chicken nuggets, 10-piece, with medium fries.
Yeah.
And you get sweet chili sauce and Cajun sauce. The Cajun sauce basically tastes like mustard, Dijon mustard.
Okay.
Yeah, that's all I gotta say.
Down bad.
Huh?
And your PC.
Oh, and my PC, that's giving me a headache for the last couple weeks.
My down bad of the week... these boys right here, Celtic, because we were supposedly very, very close to appointing Eddie Howe. 24 hours later, Eddie Howe goes, no, I'm dropping out of the race. I don't want this job. We're now heavily linked with, let me attempt here. My Greek is not great. Ang Postoglu. Okay, so you're like, who the fuck is this guy? He is a former head coach of the Australian national team. He has coached in Japan recently.
Never know. Maybe
Pardon?
Liam, that could be a good thing.
Who found this man? flipped through a phone book. That's our guy right there. That's how I feel the Celtic board went. But I'm not going to make any judgments yet. If he does get appointed, I wish him the best, and I will stand by him. I just don't understand how there's not any other.
Would you prefer him or one of the old boys? That's
who is one of the old boys?
I don't know, like a Roy Keane.
No, God, no, I wouldn't want him. I want a Chris Wilder. I want a Chris Wilder.
Well, what I hear about this guy, he's apparently like plays very attractive football. So if he can get that implemented, and if he has some patience, if he gets any patience.
Tom Rogic is Australian, and he said he's very similar to Brendan Rodgers in his training, high intensity, attacking football. So who knows? Maybe. Yeah. I'm not going to make any
judgments. The thing is, Celtic fans aren't very patient, and especially with Rangers being good.
Yes.
Yeah.
Speaking of Chris Wilder, you should have went for Slava Stanovic. No. Now he's at Sheffield United.
Before we get to the questions, one last thing I want to bring up is that if you guys haven't seen on TikTok, there's an account called FC Wonderkid. They have an amazing TikTok and YouTube channel. Definitely check them out. They followed us back, so good on you guys. I want to bring up one of their TikToks, because apparently this is how you pronounce Rafael Guerrero in Portuguese.
But how did you say Rafael Guerrero? Because that one blew me away, and I know the comment section is going to love it.
Rafael Guerrero.
Oh.
Rafael
Guerrero. Wow.
I know it may... I'm Portuguese, so Rafael Guerrero is the way we say it. Ruben Dias, Rafael
Guerrero. But how did you say Rafael...
Guerrero? I don't think I can do that, man. Guerrero? Liam, you try.
We're not Portuguese, so...
Plus, he's just bringing up these random TikToks. He's having a great time today.
My down bad of the week is Inter Milan. They go from lifting Serie A, being all happy, to one day later, everything becoming a dumpster fire.
I mean, that's same with Lille. Lille's the exact same. They're in the same dumpster fire.
Yeah.
Sag. But, boys, it's time for questions. Let's go.
Yeah, there's nothing, no questions really out of the ordinary.
Do we need to do questions? Or?
I mean, we'll just read some comments for sure, though. Like, imagine he asked if you guys could do a kit tier list when the big teams announce their kits for next season.
It's happening, don't you? No, for the Euros, don't you worry. It's happening. Me and Wazinho, baby, are going to get on top of that. Okay. It'll happen.
So we'll have some content with tier lists coming soon, hopefully, to this channel. Hamish, your question kind of confused me, because can you guys please name...
Or is it Hamish?
Like maybe Hamish. It's Hamish?
Probably Hamish.
But he asked, can you guys please name your team of the year for 2026?
No, I apologize. I can't do that. You never know. Some Phil Foden or Mbappe could come around.
Phil Foden, Mbappe, Billy G. That's it.
Well, we can name that. If we're still doing this in 5 years, we will do it.
You know, as fun as that is to do, you know, that's a fun question and all. But for me personally, it's like, I don't know if some random kid, I don't know where, unexpectedly comes out and starts performing out of his mind. You know, maybe the next Messi will show up, the next Cristiano Ronaldo.
Let me tell you, as someone who grew up in the same city 3 years ago, I would not have expected Alphonso Davies to be starting for Bayern Munich. Let me tell you, okay?
Yeah.
I watched him play live for Vancouver Whitecaps. I said, this guy's very good. Did I think he'd take the step and start for Bayern Munich? No,
he wasn't even playing left back at the Whitecaps.
Yeah, not really. He was playing left wing, yeah. And he was very good. His pacing behind was incredible. But it was like, did I ever see that step from Bayern from MLS Vancouver to Bayern Munich? Not at all. Even when the transfer went through, I remember saying, well, he'll probably get loaned out. He'll play for the second team. He'll have, you know, a couple of years bumping around. Man, starting and winning a Champions League. So you know what? Things happen.
Okay, yeah. I think this is the final question, but you guys probably won't know this player, but this guy explains his situation, so just keep in mind like his situation and what you would do. So
I'll close my eyes and imagine.
Jeffrey Koemans, he asked, what do you guys think, if I pronounce his name, I'm sorry, Georgios Giakoumakis should do? What should this man do? He's the top scorer of this season in the Dutch Eredivisie with 26 goals, 7 more than number 2. He got relegated with his team, VVV Venlo. First time ever a top goal scorer got relegated with his team in the Eredivisie. Is he an option for Brentford if they sell Ivan Toney, or is that a step too high for him?
It's a bit of a step too high because to go from the Eredivisie to the Premier League is a very high step, especially if you're playing like with a relegated side.
What he should do, come to Celtic, we need a new goal scorer.
Why would he downgrade?
We can offer you the potential of Champions League football, if not Champions League, hopefully Europa League.
Well, this guy might be Greek, so this guy is Greek, so, you know, Greek manager.
Greek manager. Come, we have a Greek goalkeeper.
Can you be in the Champions League and... how does it work? If you don't make Champions League qualifiers, if you don't get qualified for the Champions League, you go to the Europa League, right?
If Celtic get to the final qualifier of Champions League and don't win, we would drop into a Europa League qualifier final round and then go in.
So then if you get third in the Europa League groups, do you go to the Conference League? Is that how this works, or is that not a thing?
I actually don't know. Lucas, do you know?
Can you repeat?
Let's say you're Europa League. So you know how Champions League, third place drops down to Europa League. Does third place Europa League drop down to Conference League?
I don't know.
These are great footballing questions, Greg. 10 out of 10. Good job.
We don't know. My entire point was I just hope Liam's talking about Champions League. I just hope he drops the Conference League.
The answer to this comment is go to Celtic.
That's my answer.
I don't think Tony's going to leave. I think he'll stick with Brentford.
Yeah. We don't really know about this player. We've never watched him, so we don't know if he'd actually be a good fit if his goals are due to him or something else. But
yeah, and yes, he should move somewhere, though. He shouldn't go down to the second division of the Dutch league. He should go somewhere. It's
booted and relegated. It's achievement. That's big.
Yeah. There's even an article saying we assume he'll leave from the director of the team.
Yeah. And it's a similar situation to someone like Adam Armstrong, for example, who has a lot of goals in the championship, and Blackburn finished, 18th or something? I don't see him staying there. He'll go somewhere.
My name gives me PTSD. I break out into shakes. Adam Armstrong is 15-0! But, you know.
But let's end it up. I think that's a good way to end it.
I've thoroughly enjoyed this podcast.
It was very
fun.
I made fun of Manchester City, made fun of Manchester United. A look ahead, of course. We have the Euros coming up, although that's not for another, 2 weeks. So,
less.
I think the podcast next Sunday will be more focused on the Euros, as on June the 11th, it's a Friday, that's when the Euros start, so, going into that week, the podcast will be, that's the Euros week. I will try to release some Euros content if we can.
Yeah, if you are still here listening, we greatly appreciate it. But yes, the 90th minute, very, very quickly here, we'll transition to pretty much 100% Euros content. We're going to be putting out as much as we can, as well as streaming over on our Twitch channel. Link will be down in the description for that. You can check it out. You can also check us out on our social media, our TikTok or Instagram, stuff like that. That way you can stay up to date with whatever schedule we do come out with for the Euros tournament. If you are still watching, thank you very much. Make sure you leave a like. If you enjoyed it, make sure you are subscribed to the channel here on YouTube and following on any of the audio apps. Comment down below. Give us your questions for next week's podcast. Also, give us your thoughts and opinions on anything we talked about today. Before we do wrap it up, though, once again, I want to mention the fantastic guys over at manscaped.com. You can use code 90th to get 20% off plus free shipping. The Lawnmower 4.0. You need it. Pick it up. Great gift for Father's Day. They have a lot of other fantastic products as well. Number one in male grooming below the waist. Check out Manscaped at manscaped.com. But from the four of us and Maddie, wherever he may be, this has been yet another week in the beautiful game. We will see you next time. Goodbye, everybody.